Nats Chat is brought to you by Walters. Walters Sports Bar will sponsor your next private event. Walters is located right across the street from the ballpark in Navy Yard.
Register at waltersdc.com and click the Inquire Now button.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The 3-1. Abrams launches one right center field. This one is crushed, heading toward the river. Way back there and long gone. It stays on the concourse. It'll stay dry, but it's a two-run homer for Abrams. And the Nationals lead 2-0. What a blast for CJ, number 17 on the season. Gets the Nats on the board here in the third inning. Here comes the 3-2. Abrams launches one to deep right field on a line. Way back it goes, and it is gone. It's a two-homer game for C.J. Abrams, and the Nationals lead 6-1. He is getting closer to a 2020 season. That's his 18th of the year.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi Podcast. Mark Zuckerman is off for this installment of the pod, but I am pleased to be joined by the president of baseball operations and general manager of this podcast, Tim Shovers, who, unlike the Nats president of baseball operations and general manager, Mike Rizzo, does have a contract extension. And the Nats, they have a win in a game one of a series. It had been a while, but Monday evening, a 6-2 win at the Pittsburgh Pirates in game one of a four-game series. The Nats' first win in a game one of a series since August 25th. This is just the Nats' fourth win over their last 14 games. So the Nats now are 65-79. Third worst record in the National League, but just a game worse than the Pirates, who now are 66-78. We know the deal with this Nats season. It has always been a lot more about the potential building blocks than the season has been about wins and losses. And the truth is that the results for the Nats' potential building blocks this season have been mixed, but there certainly have been positives. And one of those positives in the second half of the Nats' regular season has been shortstop C.J. Abrams. And he, on Monday evening, had a terrific game. Abrams, as the Nats' starting shortstop and number one batter, 2-for-4 with a two-run homer and a solo homer, a big game that hopefully is part of a big concluding month to the season for C.J. Abrams. He had the great July, bad August. He so far is having a great month of September, and this could end up being an exclamation mark on the season that C.J. Abrams has had.
If you're a Nats fan, and in a month or two when the season sort of feels like it's been a while, and the winter is setting in, and you want to look back on some of the highlights from 2023, I would include this game near the top of the list. You've talked about the building blocks. He looked like a star player tonight. Now, I know it's two whatever teams playing in mid-September, but it just feels like there's so many games where C.J. Abrams steals the show game after game after game, and it's like this building block really has blossomed and gets me really excited.
He is a building block with flair. For those of you who are familiar with the great movie Office Space, there is flair to C.J. Abrams, no doubt. So the two home runs for him on Monday evening, a Nats two-run third, Abrams a two-run homer on a bomb to right field for a 2-0 Nats lead. The homer winner projected 417 feet per Statcast. And there was a pimping of the home run, as we have grown accustomed to with C.J. Abrams. He took his time admiring that shot. And then Abrams in the Nats, one run seventh, a one-out full-count solo homer to right field for a 6-1 Nats lead, despite having been down in the count at 1.12. So when it comes to what Abrams is doing in this month of September, and, you know, we're still, I don't want to say early in the month, I guess we're not that anymore, but, you know, there's still a long way to go in the month. But so far, Abrams in September, 8-for-26 with 4 home runs, a triple, 3 singles, and 5 walks. That is quite good. He, for this season, is number 2 on the Nats in home runs with 18, is number 2 among qualified Nats players in OPS at 733. So we know the deal with C.J. Abrams, one of the key pieces acquired in the Juan Soto-Josh Bell trade of August 2022. He had a bad first half of the season. Like I said, really good July, down August, so far having a terrific September. If I said to you, life on the line, does C.J. Abrams end up becoming the star who the Nats hoped he would be when they made that Juan Soto trade? Where are you right now? Yes or no? Does Abrams ultimately hit as a young player for the Nats?
Oh, definitely. I'm putting my life in his hands, no doubt about it. He's just shown so much. I mean, the fact that he can hit nearly 20 homers a season, think how long that took Trey Turner. I don't think that happened for him until 2021, somewhere around there. And Abrams might do it this year. I mean, he's got 18 homers with a few weeks to go. And speed, you know, you can't teach speed, right? He's a base dealer. And as the sport gets more and more accustomed to the new rules and the bigger bases, this is, remember, just year one of the new pitch clock era. So maybe he'll steal 65 bases in a few years. Like, I don't know. Like, that seems to be in play for me. So I don't want to say sky's the limit. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be the best or second best shortstop in baseball. But to me, top five, top seven sounds right to me.
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, you look at the age, right? Age 22 season. He is so young. He has so much real estate in front of him in terms of his baseball life that he is at this point right now, does get you excited. And, you know, I think about him like this too. So Juan Soto got traded, and obviously there was a skill level to Juan Soto that's really hard to replace. But there also was a charisma to Soto. There was a personality to Soto. He was a face of the franchise. And, you know, I think about Abrams, we're going to get to know guys like Dylan Cruz and James Wood and how they are as personalities. You know, Abrams isn't necessarily like out there talking all the time. But like I said, with the way that he's handling these home runs, there is a charisma to him. There is a showmanship to him. That's the kind of thing that plays well with younger fans. He really could become a fan favorite. He really could become a face of the Nats. Like, when you think about the next generation of Nats, the next iteration of the Nats as a good team, Abrams might not just be one of the good players on that team. He might be one of the real faces of that team.
The Abrams basketball jersey might become a hit with young Nats fans. No question. He has used flair earlier, right? You said, great Office Space reference. My guess is Abrams wears more than 15 pieces above the bare minimum, if I had to say. Yeah, Al, he could be a star. I mean, we're still 3 years away from the age 25 season. I mean, we have so much to go here. It's so fun to see immediate payoff from the risky Soto trade. You know, the Gore thing has been upsetting, and there's a lot that we still have yet to see with the San Diego trade and Robert Hassel III. But this right away, to have these results in 13 and a half months of the trade, I mean, how much more could you ask for from a shortstop?
And it feels good that he ends his season well. And again, we'll see what happens in these remaining weeks of the Nats season. But him having a good September, I said this a few shows back, I thought that that mattered a lot because, you know, off the great July, he had the bad August. And if he ended up having a bad September, you're kind of like, well, what exactly did that July mean? If he has a good September, then you say, all right, you know what? 2 out of the final 3 months, this guy was really good. He is on the rise. So good stuff from C.J. Abrams on Monday evening. You know, also homering for the Nats on Monday evening, Dominic Smith. He is the Nats starting first baseman and number 5 batter, 2-for-4 with a solo homer and a double. And Dom hit a bomb in this game. Nats 1-run 6, a 1-out solo homer by Dom Smith to center field on a 1-2 pitch for a 5-1 Nats lead. The homer winner projected 423 feet per stat cast. That was some shot by Dominic Smith. The Nats in this game, 6 runs on 9 hits and 2 walks, 2 for 4 with runners in scoring position, but 5 of the Nats' hits were extra base hits, 3 home runs and 2 doubles. So the Nats hit for some power on Monday evening at PNC Park. Also for Dominic Smith in the game, top of the 8th, a one-out double off the right center field wall, although he was thrown out in his attempt to stretch the hit into a triple. Speaking of getting thrown out off getting a hit, it happened again with Keibert Ruiz. This has become one of my biggest pet peeves to this Nats team this season. The frequency with which Keibert Ruiz, a catcher, gets thrown out in attempts to stretch singles into doubles. This has happened so much with him this year. I don't get why this continues to be a thing. But Keibert did have a 2-hit game on Monday evening, so I don't want to lose sight of that. He is the Nats starting catcher, number 3 batter, 2 for 4 with a double and a single. He and the Nats 2-run 4th had a leadoff first pitch double to the right center field gap. And Keibert in the top of the 5th, a 2-out single down the right field line on a 1-2 pitch, but then was thrown out in retreating back to first base off, I guess, having considered going for a double. He got caught kind of in no man's land. He thought better of trying to get to second base. He ended up retreating back to first base, didn't get back to the bag in time. Do you have a theory for why this keeps happening with Keibert Ruiz? Again, a catcher. It'd be one thing if he was, you know, a speedster in the outfield or a middle infielder. He's a catcher. What is he doing constantly being in danger on the base paths?
He's got a Robleson-type aptitude on the base paths. I don't know what this is. I hope it gets fixed in the offseason. And one of those sort of, if he could be sent clips of all these mistakes he's made, it seems to be all the time, as you talked about. Like, it's just sort of very, very bizarre. Hopefully, as he becomes an older player and a more veteran catcher, and he realizes how much you have to balance the staff and how many game day responsibilities come from being a franchise catcher, but that somehow translates into just not being a daring base runner. And if you get a single, that's great. Just stay there. Where you're the catcher, let's not ask for anything more. If I'm David Martinez, I feel like there has to be an easy fix in here somewhere.
You would think. I mean, usually catchers are some of the smartest guys on the team in terms of like baseball IQ. There's a reason that so many managers are former catchers. Keibert Ruiz, every indication is that he is a smart baseball guy. So he knows better. I don't know what this is about, but anyway, did have 2 hits in this game. Keibert Ruiz for this season is number 4 among qualified Nats players in OPS at 722. Also with a 2-hit game for the Nats was Eldemaro Vargas. He is the Nats starting third baseman and number 7 batter, 2 for 3 with a couple of singles and a walk. Look, the Pirates are not a good team, but we know that the Nats don't have a very good record. The Nats took it to the Pirates in this game on Monday evening. It was nice to see that. Hey, are you a law firm partner or an associate stuck on an underperforming franchise? Do what Nationals legend Max Scherzer did. Demand a trade. He left the New York Mets, right? And ended up on a contender in the American League. There might be greener pastures and a lot more money at another law firm for you and your team at another law firm. Not to mention better management and better services to offer your clients. The law firm lateral partner market is still red hot. And Nats Chat sponsor Mason Kalfas is the best legal recruiter in Washington, D.C. or anywhere. And Mason wants to help you find a new and better home. Mason Kalfas, he is the Scott Boras of legal recruiters. Put him to work for you. Mason will sit down with you and understand your practice and career or financial goals. He will confidentially discuss your candidacy with law firms that are contenders, not 60-win teams. You can reach Mason or any of his team of 7 recruiters at 202-486-3535 or email Mason at mason@zenithlegal.com. That's 202-486-3535 or via email at mason@zenithlegal.com. Go Nats! The Nats will be contenders very soon, and you can be a contender even sooner.
Are you looking for tickets to an upcoming event? That's why you should download the Game Time app. Create an account and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. You get cheaper tickets and it helps the podcast a bit. Sounds like a smooth 6-4-3 double play. Again, create an account and redeem the code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Terms apply. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, it's Al Galdi here to tell you about another great deal being offered right now by Window Nation to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Window Nation is offering you even more. When it comes to new windows, Window Nation always gives you more, but now Window Nation is giving you even more. The more windows that you buy, the more that you save, up to 50% off, plus a lot more. Pay nothing for two full years. Another amazing deal on the great windows that Window Nation can provide to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Save up to 50% with the purchase of a house of windows. You know, even given what has been happening with interest and mortgage rates, Window Nation still is keeping 0% interest for 2 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And tell Window Nation that you want the great deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Again, the more windows that you buy, the more that you save, up to 50% off, plus you pay nothing for two full years. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that Al Galdi from the Nats Chat podcast sent you.
Left-hander ready. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And a curly W's in the books here in game one in Pittsburgh.
The Nats starting pitcher for the 6-2 win at the Pirates on Monday evening was Patrick Corbin. Corbin was coming off a terrible outing. The 11-5 Nats loss to the New York Mets at Nationals Park last Tuesday night, September 5th. Corbin in that game, a disaster. 8 runs in 4 innings. He, of course, is having a 4th consecutive bad season in what is the 5th season of a 6-year, $140 million contract to which the Nats signed him as a free agent in December 2018. But Corbin, to his credit this season, has eaten up innings for the Nats, and he at times has been good. We have talked about this on the show. And he in this win at the Pirates on Monday evening was great. This was a typical Patrick Corbin scenario. Coming off a really bad game, facing a bad team, and then doing well against that bad team. I feel like this scenario has played out so many times these last few years. Corbin does give you some really good outings occasionally, and he had one of those outings in this game. Patrick Corbin on Monday evening, 2 runs in 6 2/3 innings with 8 strikeouts versus 1 walk. He was really good. He gave up just 5 hits, 2 doubles, and 3 singles. He issued a wild pitch. He threw 98 pitches, 59 strikes versus 39 balls. The Pirates are one of the worst hitting teams in the majors. That has to be understood. But Corbin was really good. He deserves credit for that. And this is part of the Patrick Corbin story of the last 4 seasons. It is remarkable. He has been really bad. Of that, there is no doubt. But when he has been good, he actually has been quite good. He has had outings like this one multiple times, even this season. And he had another one on Monday evening.
Yeah, it seems like what happens is that he'll have a blow-up start. And we sort of had a string of like, oh my God, I cannot watch Patrick Corbin throw one more pitch. And then he'll have sort of these outings. And then you reset it. And then you go back to, oh, maybe if he could do this, that, and the other. And then you remember that the ERA never moves below 5. But you know, with this, Al, I just keep thinking, you know, what has been so remarkable, and you talked about this week with the starting pitcher luck that the Nats have had this year, which is very unusual compared to other teams, just how he never gets hurt. He's there every fifth day. Usually when a pitcher doesn't work out, the contract, Strasburg is an extreme example, it's because there's a lot of injuries, right? This didn't happen. He's had remarkable health, but just has completely lost his effectiveness. I'm sure there's an equivalent to this contractual situation, but I'm having trouble coming up with an exact equivalent of what this Corbin thing is. That's what makes it so maddening.
Yeah, it's one of the rarer things that you'll see, because you're right. Normally, when a big money contract for a pitcher is a flop, it's because the guy gets hurt. Injury is a part of it, or age is a part of it. And neither really has been a factor for Patrick Corbin. Certainly not injury. And like, of course, he's older now than he was in December 2018, but he's not that old. I mean, his decline really has not been about a guy getting money deep into his career, and the Nats made the mistake that, you know, so many other teams have made over the years, paying guys for what they have done, and then you end up paying the guy as he's, you know, aging big time. That really hasn't been a thing with Corbin. He just has stopped being good, you know? And it's been almost mysterious. I mean, with Corbin, I always come back to this. We know what the problems have been the last 4 years, right? He's given up a lot of contact. He has stopped being the strikeout pitcher that he was. He has become overly reliant on doing things the way that he did them prior to the decline, and he really hasn't adjusted or evolved as a pitcher. So, like, we know all of that. But why that stuff has happened has never been made clear. There never has been, like, a great theory for why has this stuff gone down? Why hasn't he been able to fix himself? Why hasn't he been able to get on track? Why haven't the Nats as an organization been able to get him on track? It's one of the great baseball mysteries. It's absolutely unique. But I just find it so comical that he can do what he did on Monday evening. Like, some pitchers are bad, and when they're not bad, they maybe allow, like, I don't know, 2 runs in 5 innings or something. Like, no, when he's not bad, he pitches like an ace. He pitched like an ace on Monday evening. He still will do that every now and then. And that is part of the madness of all of this.
And given that, I hate to say it, I'm so sorry, he's got to be in the opening day rotation next year. I mean, I don't think they're going to have 5 bodies, especially since Cavalli won't be ready on opening day, presumably. I don't think they're going to have 5 guys ahead of him. I think we're going to do this again come late March of 2024.
Yeah, I think we probably will. I mean, I think the goal should be for him to not be in the opening day rotation. But I think if you had to bet money on it, he probably will be. Because, yeah, probably it will not be that Cade Cavalli is good to go start of the regular season. And, you know, it may not be that, say, Jackson Rutledge right away is in the major league rotation to begin the regular season. He does consume innings. I mean, if you look at the Nats starting pitcher stats for this year, Corbin is by far number one on this pitching staff in innings pitched, 165 on the season. And, you know, by the standards of baseball history, 165 innings this deep into a regular season is nothing special. But these days, that's actually, like, respectable. You know, he, in theory, could finish this season with 180 innings pitched, right? If you figure he has 3 starts left in the year, if he goes at least 5 innings in each start, which, you know, to his credit, he actually does normally do, that'll get him to 180 innings. And 180 innings has almost become like the new 200 innings, which had been the new 230 innings, which had been the new 270 innings. I mean, the bar keeps coming down in terms of pitcher workloads, season in, season out. But yeah, he does do that. And let's be honest, for any organization, especially a team like the Nats that's rebuilding, when you're planning for a season, a lot of this is just, it's like a math equation. You have to fill up a certain amount of innings over the course of 162 games. They're not all going to be filled up by A-plus pitchers. You got to find guys who are going to eat up innings to eat up the many innings that you as a team are going to have to consume in terms of pitching. And so if Corbin is a guy who doesn't get hurt and can give you 150, 160 innings, there is something there. They aren't 150, 160 good innings. But if you don't have other great options, or the other promising options you have aren't quite ready, then yeah, he probably is going to be in the rotation to begin the regular season. The question would be, next year, the final year of the contract, do we finally see the Nats yank him from the rotation? That has never happened throughout all of this decline. He has always been a part of the rotation in some form. Does that finally change next season? That would be maybe the biggest sign of advancement for this organization in terms of developing some young starting pitching, that finally they can say, no, you're done. You know, same thing with a guy like Trevor Williams. No, you're done. We have someone who we think is better. So we'll see next year.
I'm hoping that June 1st, 2024, Patrick Corbin is out of the rotation because there are five guys genuinely better for him. That's a goal I'm setting for next year.
Yeah. And look, when it comes to the Corbin story, you know, there's the obvious takeaway of he became bad, but there's sort of a secondary takeaway, and that is what an indictment that throughout all of this, the Nats haven't had anyone better to replace him in the rotation. Like, what does that say? That every year, ERAs in the fives and sixes, and he continues to be trotted out there because the team hasn't had anyone better. Like, what does that tell you about the job that this club has done developing starting pitching? So hopefully we are getting away from that and things are improving when it comes to developing starting pitching. But look, Corbin was good on Monday evening. So good to see that. Feel good for him. Feel happy for him. And maybe he's got a few more gems down the stretch of this season. Good game for the Nats bullpen on Monday evening. Two Nats relievers combined for 2 1/3 scoreless innings. Jordan Weems tossed 1 1/3 scoreless innings, and Jose A. Ferrer tossed a scoreless bottom of the ninth. We thankfully did not have rain on Monday evening in Pittsburgh. We, of course, got our share of rain and then some this past weekend, with each of three games for the Nats against the National League West leading Dodgers being impacted in some way by rain. We, on the last installment of the podcast, talked about, is this the most rain-laden series for the Nats since the franchise came here? And, you know, I was half kidding when I brought that up, because it's not really something that, like, you could look up and, you know, necessarily even, like, quantify. Like, you know, was this the rainiest series that the Nats have had since the franchise came here? But you told me that you actually have experienced a national series in which all three games in the series were impacted by rain in the way that this Nats-Dodgers series was impacted by rain over the weekend.
Yes, it was late August of 2012. It was a really big series, if you can recall. The Braves were coming to town. The Nats had a few-game lead. And if the Braves swept, then the division could have been a race again. But if the Nats sort of won the series, they could keep themselves at arm's distance. And that first game, I think, ended at like 1:30 in the morning. Chad Tracy had a walk-off infield single or something bizarre like that. But yeah, every single day in that series, there was a rain delay. None of them were too severe, but it happened to come at a particularly busy time at work. At the time, I was in charge of the game day operations for the football radio network, which I do along with Al. And that was right at the height of the RG3 preseason and in a different era in DC sports. It was not a great week to begin with, and it kept raining. So it was a very long series. And yeah, definitely didn't forget it. Here we are 11 years later.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this Nats-Dodgers series is the total amount of rain delay time. I mentioned this on the last installment of the show. 6 hours and 42 minutes of combined rain delay time over the three games. I feel like that's going to be awfully hard to top as time goes on. And hopefully we don't top it, because that was not a fun weekend for either team. Certainly not a fun weekend for the ticket-paying Nationals fan. You know, hearing you say, though, what you just said reminded me of something. And when the Nats get good again, I'm going to be so interested to see many things, but included in them is this. I think one of the quirkier things about the Nats' run of having the 8 consecutive winning seasons as they did from 2012 through 2019 is that in the playoff-making seasons, you never really saw the Nats have to fight down the stretch to make the playoffs. In all of those years, they made the postseason relatively comfortably. Even in 2019, when they made the postseason as a wild card team, by the time we got to the end of the regular season, the Nats were in. It wasn't like they had to fight on the last day of the season to make it. But when you look at those seasons in which the Nats won the National League East, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2017, there wasn't really that like classic pennant race. I mean, the Nats didn't necessarily coast the entirety of the season, but there was never that like dogfight, late September series, life on the line, you know, postseason contention up for grabs between two teams vying for a division crown. You never had that. And, you know, here we are now. We're approaching 20 years of the Nats being in D.C. I would like to see that, because I think that that would be so good for baseball in D.C. And I think it might help for something that I think would also be very good for baseball in D.C., and that is a true rival for the Nats. Like, if I said to you, who is the Nats' true rival? What's the answer to that question? I mean, if you're a Nats fan, you don't like the Phillies, you don't like the Braves, you don't like the Mets. I get that. But, like, who is your arch rival? Who is your Pittsburgh Penguins to your Washington Capitals? You know, who is your Dallas Cowboys to your Washington Commanders? And I would love to see the Nats somehow develop a true rivalry, you know, a true hatred with a fellow National League East team. And those things take time. I get that. And you can't force them. I understand that. But boy, this team has been here for almost two decades now, and we still don't have really a clear-cut answer to who the Nats' biggest rival is.
Well, if you recall a previous iteration of the podcast, I firmly believe that all crosstown rivals, and I'm including Nats and Orioles in that umbrella, should be in the same division. So to me, that's your answer, but I know that that's not going to happen overnight. I don't think there's ever going to be, of the current NL East teams, I think it's going to rotate. But you do bring up a great point there, Al, that I haven't thought of before. I just sort of, I guess, have taken it for granted. There hasn't been that mid to late September, 10, 15 games left to go, where you live and die with every game, and you're scoreboard watching as well. Those rhythms of late September, which are very unique and very, very fun. When that day does come, those will be very fun episodes here on the Nats Chat Podcast. That's the peak of regular season baseball as being a fan. And in 20 years, Nats fans haven't experienced that. That is very bizarre now that you point that out.
Yeah, I mean, the 2019 charge to go from 19-31 to making the playoffs. What's funny about that, looking back on it, is the Nats were so good in battling back from 19-31 that you didn't end up getting what you would have assumed you would have gotten, which is like some do or die series late in the regular season. And, you know, it's a credit to that team for how well it played post the 19-31. But I just think, from a standpoint of like growing the game, growing Nats fandom, it would be great to see the Nats and some team engage in a true pennant race down the stretch of a season. And, you know, obviously for the Nats to come out on top. But those are the things that really build fan bases and build rivalries. And I think rivalries are such a big part of sports. But yeah, we are still waiting on a true rival for the Nats as we approach two decades of the Nats being in Washington, D.C. I guess the most likely rival would be what, the Phillies, right? Especially now considering all of the ex-Nats on the Phillies.
I would say the Phillies because also it's so close. And if between stadiums, and also if you think about it, the Phillies run ended right when the Nats run began. So we've never had an era where both fan bases have been motivated. And so I know a lot of Nats fans hated the Citizens Bank South era, but the Nats weren't good yet. So if we sort of had those two things overlap, I think that's where it would really come in. Obviously, there's Mets fans grow on trees. So whenever there would be that moment of a huge Nats-Mets thing, I think that could happen simply. And also, having gone to a lot of Braves-Nats games, one thing to just keep in mind, and I'm not going to like dig in too deeply to it, big culture clash between Nats and Braves fans. Like, it's very, very real. The Braves fans are not East Coast people. They're not Phillies fans. They're not Mets fans. And so there's a little spice and variety to that rivalry that I guess you kind of have to see up close and personal to experience it, but it does exist.
You tell us what you think. Hit us up on Twitter at @Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to have you on board as a sponsor. If you're interested in that, email Tim. See what we can do for you. That email address is natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, natschatpodcast.com, at which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. A thank you to Tim Newmark for the Nats Chat podcast music. Visit timnewmark.com. Next up for the Nats is Game 2 of this four-game series at the Pittsburgh Pirates Wednesday evening at 6:35. Yoan Adone will be the Nats starting pitcher. For Tim Shovers, I'm Al Galdi. We'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat podcast.
We need to talk. Do you know what this is about?
My flair?
Yeah. Or your lack of flair, because I'm counting and I only see 15 pieces. Let me ask you a question, Joanna. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.